Well, good evening, men. Let's get out our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. How many of you, this is your first time here at Calvary Chapel of the High Desert? Raise your hand. Anybody for the first time? Welcome. We'd like to welcome you. We're glad you're here. Glad you're here. Hope you enjoyed the burger. Now we're going to get into the real meat, okay? Bible. Okay, Bible. This stuff lasts. That burger, you'll want another one before long. You know, but God's word, it will fill you and satisfy you eternally. So, Proverbs chapter 2. Tell them a message is men of the word. Let's begin reading. I'm going to read out of the Message translation, which is not really a translation. It's a paraphrase. Don't recommend studying out of it. Not real extremely accurate. But sometimes I just like the way it's said there, okay? Not a good study Bible, the Message. It's not a translation. It is actually a paraphrase. So it's kind of a guy putting it into his own words. So you got to be a little careful about that. But I think you'll enjoy. You have your translation in front that's actually a translation, your New King James. So you'll recognize that this isn't way off base, okay? So let's begin reading Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. A good friend, take to heart what I'm telling you. Collect my counsels and guard them with your life. Tune your ears to the word of wisdom. Set your heart on a life of understanding. That's right. If you make insight your priority and won't take no for an answer, searching for it like a prospector panning for gold, like an adventurer on a treasure hunt, believe me, before you know it, the fear of God will be yours, and you'll have come upon the knowledge of God. And here's why. God gives out wisdom free, in plain spoken, in knowledge and understanding. He's a rich mine of common sense for those who live well, a personal bodyguard to the candid and sincere. He keeps his eye on all who live honestly and pays special attention to his loyally committed ones. So now you can pick out what's true and fair and find all the good trails. I like that paraphrase there. You see, as men, there's nothing more important than to be those who, well, as Jesus said to the disciples in John 8:31, he says to them, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And listen, here's what we are called to do as men, and there is a shortage of disciplers today. Men who will train other men in the Word of God to live out by accomplishing the work of God along with others who are younger in the Lord. You see, Jesus said that we are to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and then what? Make disciples. Make disciples. That word, discipline, not easy, but needful, you see, if we are going to accomplish God's plan for us. Now, when Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples, the implication for a disciple is that he is a man of the word. If we are going to be men of the word, have you noticed that just doesn't happen? It's sort of like hula-hooing your lot. The weeds just don't sort of go away on their own. Have you noticed? You got to engage. You got to have a little bit of discipline. You got to go out there when the weather isn't perfect. Because if you wait for a perfect day to hula-hoo, you're going to have a lot more work. You see, you got to get after it. Why is it that so many believers, when Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, why is it that we fail to have a routine, a regular reading of the word, a daily diet, if you would? A recent poll printed in USA Today revealed that of the 662 people, interviewed, 93% of the people in this country said they owned at least one Bible. But listen to this. Of those who said they owned Bibles, only 55% said they read their Bible. And of that 55% who said they read their Bibles, only 25% of them read their Bibles every day. Now, how literate, how intelligent, what kind of a student are you going to be if that's the case? Because the reality, men, is, hey, listen, here's the question. Do you want to be a success or do you want to be a failure? You see, that's what it boils down to. And listen, if you want to be a success, if you want to have an impact on this earth, if you want to live a meaningful, exemplary life, then it is dependent on how much of the Bible that we get into our hearts and our minds on a daily basis. And then, beyond just getting it into our hearts and our minds, we have got to get it out into our lives in obedience. If we neglect the study of God's Word, our spiritual life will ultimately unravel. Because everything that we need to know about God, guess where it's taught? In the Bible. That's how you get to know Him. Now, statesmen in the past, our founding fathers, knew the importance and the priority of this. Abraham Lincoln said, "All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated through this book." He's referring to the Bible. "All things that are desirable to man are contained in it." We have left that to our own destruction. This was a politician, Abraham Lincoln. You might remember, he was a president. He made that statement about the Bible. And he didn't care what people thought about it. And he didn't care about whether it was politically correct, because he believed it. Why is it that we as believers so often fail at this point? Perhaps the reason is that we are not very hungry for the Bible. We don't really hunger for the truth of God. You see, for a doctor, one of the easiest ways to know if a person is healthy or not is to check his appetite. From you guys, and I know you're all healthy tonight. I saw your appetite out there in action. But listen, where there's no appetite, it usually means something's wrong. In the same way, some Christians don't have an appetite for the Word of God. Some see reading the Bible as a duty, a bit of drudgery, an obligation, you see. But that can change once we are aware of how important it is. You see, hungry children are healthy children. Peter in 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, "As newborn babies desire the spiritual milk of the Word that you may grow thereby." That phrase in Peter, "desire the spiritual milk of the Word," could be translated to long for or intensely yearn for the teaching of God's Word that you may grow. You know, I was at a pastor's meeting this morning. Bunch of us Calvary pastors get together once a month down at Revival down in Menifee, and guys come from all over, and we get down there and we pray together and we're reading through a book together. And there was happening to be visiting three guys from Peru. The pastor there of the Calvary in Lima, Peru, he's got a Bible college down there, and he was telling me of we asked him, what's the difference? I mean, and then you coming back to this country, what do you guys, you know, what do you experience? What do you see? First of all, he says, you know what? Heartbroken over the direction this country has gone. It's like I'm coming home to a different country than when I left over the last 5 years. With all the things that have changed. And not for the good. And he says, and here's another thing. You know what? Down in Peru, you open the Word of God and people want to hear. They're hungry. They'll sit there. They listen. They're not going, you know, looking at their clocks because, you know what, man? They want to know what God says. They're interested in the things of God. Listen, if we're going to grow, if we're going to make progress, if we're going to be nourished, it comes through the Word of God. We can't progress without it spiritually. And if you're one that is not growing, you find you're a Christian life kind of ho-hum. Maybe it's because you're stuffing yourself with desserts that this world has to give you that, oh, feels good, that a quick fix and kind of gets you the sugar high, if you would. It's all sweet, you know, and you just love to hear, just say sweet things to me. Don't tell me the truth. Just lie to me as long as it makes me happy and feel good. That's kind of the way we can get if we're not careful. And you know what happens eventually? You get sick spiritually if you continue that course. You need good, solid food. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the prophet cries out, "My people are perishing for lack of knowledge." Today, many believers are throwing in the towel. They're calling it quits, falling into sin, being led down a road by false teachers, and they've never developed the vital discipline of getting into the Word on a regular basis. Thus, they easily stray away. If we're disciples of Jesus Christ, leading an effective and successful Christian life, the Word of God's got to be a priority. And in Proverbs 2 that we just read, laid out at the beginning of this chapter, there's a wonderful series of promises that will help us get the most from the study of Scripture. But with every promise, there's a condition. Did you notice that there? He says in verse 1, "My son, if means it's conditional, right? Right off the bat. If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver." You see, are you getting this? This is conditional. This is passionate. This is not something that he's going, "Well, it's optional. It's cool if you want to. It's cool if you don't want to. Jesus still loves you." Well, while that may be true, the bottom line is he's really trying to encourage us to get busy when it comes to God's Word. Because if you seek her as silver, if you search for her, verse 4, as hidden treasures, then, see that if, then what will happen? You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Because the Lord, he loves to give wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. You see, those conditions are all based on what you decide to do. If you receive his word, if you treasure his commandments, if you cry out for discernment, if you seek it as though you were mining for gold. If you seek that out and work on it like okay, football season's on us, like you're looking for that 70-inch flat screen 4K TV for a good deal. Isn't it true? If you're looking for a TV, what do you look for? You just go to the first store and just buy it? Well, I guess if money's no object, you just do that. I'm Mr. Shopper. If I'm looking for a TV, I'm going to Best Buy to see the open boxes, see how many, you know, because you can get it so cheap. And then you kind of, when it's there, if you notice it's been there for 3 or 4 weeks, you walk up to the manager guy and say, hey, this thing's been here for 3 or 4 weeks. You know what? Can I get another $300 or $400 off? You know what I found? I'm not going to tell you. But we need to be those who are getting into the Word and receiving His Word there and treasuring His commandments. Now, what does that mean? Well, in Acts chapter 17, there's a reference to the believers at a certain church in Berea. It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with all readiness of mind and scrutinized the scripture daily to see if these things were so. Now, Paul is preaching at this church in Berea. These people responded differently to what Paul was teaching than others. It was something, a quality that these possessed that was commended by Paul. Their reaction to his preaching? Well, they were opening their Bibles to check to make sure what Paul was saying was true. Do you? Do you? Well, pastor would never lead us down a wrong road. He wouldn't. He wouldn't ever teach us something that, you know, is false or off a little bit. I pray to God. I never do that. But I'll tell you what. As listeners, you have a responsibility to make sure. Okay? You have a responsibility to make sure that what I'm teaching is what this Bible's saying. And if I go off base and begin to teach something, because that's what happens with all these cults, with the Jonestown and the Wacko and Waco and all this, these cults that are out there, they start off many times with a Bible. And then they start getting a little bit off and a little bit more off, and then they lead people down the road. And, well, if he's speaking for God, I mean, it's like the Pope, like he's infallible or something. No, man is infallible. Only God is infallible. Only the Word of God is infallible. And you have a responsibility to check out what any teacher, I don't care his reputation, I don't care, you know, how many people come as a result of him preaching the gospel and salvation, to make sure that gospel is truly the gospel. To make sure what he's teaching is what the Bible's saying. Paul commends this church because they wanted to make sure that what Paul was teaching was accurate. Listen, if they checked out the great apostle Paul, you definitely need to be checking me and any other teacher out that's teaching God's word today. Because there are some that claim to speak for God. In fact, there are some that claim to speak for God, and if you challenge or question them, they say, how dare you question me? Do you know how many degrees I have in theology? Who do you think you are? Well, watch out for that guy. I'm a prophet. Yeah? Well, it better be right on with the Bible or you're a false prophet. You know, there are people out there that, you know, I mean, foolish to follow people without any kind of accountability on their part is to answer the questions and give understanding of what they're teaching. So these guys scrutinized what Paul was saying with the scripture. And note as well, they received there the word in Acts 17 with readiness of mind, it says. That was not simply, when it says readiness of mind, they were not simply interested in learning something new, some new twist. What that term suggests is that they were willing to take what they knew and what they were learning and apply it to their lives. I have found that many Christians think they know more than they really do. Many times I've seen so-called mature believers reduced to a blank stare when faced with a question concerning basic Bible doctrine. They know in theory what they're supposed to believe. Let me ask you, men, can you defend it from the Word? Can you defend what you believe from the Word? Can you take people to verse and scripture in God's Word to show them why you believe what you believe? So important. Again, we don't center on faith and on what someone has said to us, no matter how credible. We need to center our faith because we've studied the Word and know what it says. That's what Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, study to show yourselves approved to God, a workman that does not have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That word for study in the Greek means make haste and exert yourself. That's why we have the men study. I want there to be godly men. Men of the Word. I want you to be men of the Word. I want you to know why you believe what you believe. I want you to be able to take somebody in your Bible and show them the basic doctrines of what is, you know, what you believe about Jesus, how a person is saved. That's going to take some exertion on your part. It's going to take some work on your part. You know what? A lot of guys like to do the gun show and build up the muscles physically. I'm not saying that's bad. Take some discipline. I admire and respect that. Let me tell you, far more important that you do the God show, that you know what God's Word says. And that you can apply that and you can flex your spiritual muscles, if you would. And people see that you're fit spiritually. That you're ready to give an answer. Take some work. That we can rightly divide the word. That means that term rightly dividing means to dissecting correctly and cutting straight the word of truth. If I ask you, do you believe that Jesus is God? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I don't want to embarrass anybody. How many of you that are at least a year, that are older than a year old in the Lord, can take me to Scripture and show me in the Bible where it says how it is that you've come to that belief? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father? That there's no other way, there's no other name under heaven by which a man or a woman can be saved? Oh, I believe that, Pastor. I believe it. Can you take me in the Bible and show me where the answer, where that's stated? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life and He wants to reveal His will to you? If so, can you back that up biblically? You see, unfortunately, tragically, many times, many Christians can't intelligently and biblically answer those questions with scriptural response. And the reason for this, I believe, is that often we don't read the Bible intelligently. I'm reading through the Bible in a year. Yeah, and you read so fast that you're not taking anything in. You're just getting through it rather than getting into it. You know what I mean? It's different to get through something than a lot different than when you get into something. You know, certain things your wife may tell you to do. Hey, hon, could you fix this? Could you fix that? Okay, I got to get through this because the game's on in a minute. Don't want to miss the game, because the game you get into. You're not, okay, let's hurry up and get this game over. Come on, I hate this game, but I'm going to sit here and watch it. I just get it over. No, man, you're into it. Is that the way it is with the Bible? Is that the way you approach the Bible? See, a lot of times we don't have any idea what the passage is saying because we fail to learn to whom it is speaking. We fail to look at what the circumstances are that are surrounding the passage, like I've said many times, the context of it. For instance, when you read the Old Testament and you see the various animal sacrifices, it can be very confusing if you don't have a basic understanding of the New Testament. I mean, if you just read the Old Testament, you could come to the conclusion that the best way to approach God is go out and find a cat or a lamb or a dove or something and cut it up and hopefully God will receive it, you know. But when you understand that all those sacrifices of animals in the Old Testament were pointing to the sacrifice with God. They were foreshadowing the sacrifice that God was going to make as His Son bled there and died on that cross in your place. All of those animal sacrifices were all foreshadowing what would happen in Jesus Christ. Now it makes sense. You see, here's some key questions that when you're studying the passages of the Bible, whenever you open up to read in your devotional time or in your study time, let me give you some questions to think about that will help you to understand and lay hold of what God is saying. First of all, when you read a chapter, ask yourself, number one, what's the main subject of this passage? What's the main subject? When you're reading through it, who are the people that are the main characters in this passage? Who is speaking? That helps a ton. And about whom is he or she speaking? What's the key verse? And what does this passage teach me about Jesus? And then, how and what? How does this apply to my life? And what does it tell me that needs to change? What sin is revealed here in this passage? Because if there's any sin mentioned in the passage, is there anything that you need to confess? God, I do that, man. Lord, I have that attitude. I struggle in this area. God, this is sin, and it clearly states it here, and I confess it right here and right now, God, and I need your help. I need to repent of it. Help me. Is there a command? Is there something that God has called me, some action, an activity that He's called me to engage in that I need to obey in the passage? Is there a promise that is made that I can lay hold of in the situation I'm in presently? Is there a prayer? Is there something that He's revealed to me that's mine as His child that I need to pray in, that I need to ask about, that I need to ask Him to do and to work, you see? You see, meditating on the Word. We need to read it. We need to think about what the Lord may be showing us in it. It's good to chew your food spiritually. When you see your kids, you know, especially when they get to the teenage years and have that hollow leg and they eat like vacuum cleaners, you go, why don't you slow down and taste it? You should try chewing. It's actually, you know, your food actually has flavor if you just chew a little bit. And we know, I mean, the medical community will tell you if you're not chewing your food, thoroughly, then guess what? You're going to have health issues. You see, you don't get the full nutrition from what you're eating, you see. And so we need to learn the same thing with the Word of God, not just run through it and shove it in and shovel it in. You go, man, I didn't taste anything. Yeah, that's because, you know, you just inhaled it. Learn to meditate. be still and know that I'm God. Take some time out to let the Holy Spirit. God wants to speak to you. Do you know that when you sit down with Bible open? God, the creator of heaven and earth, the giver of life, the one who loves you, wants to talk to you. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to us. That's not easy. Psalm 1 says, meditate. The psalmist says, I meditate in His Word day and night. That's the great thing about memorizing Scripture. It's just like many of you have probably memorized that passage, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths, depart from evil and do good, and it'll be health to your nerves. Says navel, but that's not talking about an orange or a belly button. It's talking about your nerves. You know what, people? I'm having a nervous breakdown. I'm stressed out. Well, who are you trusting? See, when you memorize a passage, the great thing is you can be driving along. Some of you have jobs that you're just, you know, you're pretty much a routine thing and doesn't require full concentration every moment doing your job. Some of you had jobs like when I used to work at the bakery and I'd just pack donuts for 8 hours, pick them up on the conveyor, put them in the box, put them in the box, put them in the box, put them in the box. Going by, you know, that didn't take a whole lot of mental concentration. So you know what? You memorize Scripture. And then when you memorize Scripture, you know what? While you're there, you can be studying the Word of God. When you don't have a Bible in front of you, you can begin to think, what's it mean to trust the Lord with all of my heart? What's that mean? Lord, where am I missing that? Is there any area where I'm not trusting You? And so, you see, you can start studying the passage. Do all things without murmuring, Philippians. Without complaining, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, having not run in vain, neither labor in vain. See, you can actually do a little Bible study, meditating on that passage, if you've memorized it. That's what it means to memorize, to meditate. To pray for understanding. Lord, what's this mean? That's what it's talking about there in verse 3 of Proverbs 2. Cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. Praying for it. Like a psalmist did in Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open thou my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. In other words, God's got wonderful things that He wants to show to you and reveal to you. But are we too busy to lay hold of them? Are we too busy to look for them? God help us. Are we too busy to ask for them? Pray. God help me. You're the author of this book. I believe what you say in this book. I believe the Bible is breathed, that the Scriptures are breathed by You. And so, Lord, guide me. We need Him to guide us and to direct us and to teach us and to show us how those truths apply in our lives. That will cause the Bible to come alive to you when you approach it in that fashion. And we need to treasure the Word. Verse 4 says, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and will find the knowledge of God. If you want to know God, you know what it simply says? You need to seek Him. You need to seek His wisdom as if you're mining for gold or searching for treasures. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, and in keeping of them is great reward. You want a great reward? Man, mine in the Word of God. There are treasures There's stuff that you get on the surface, and it's cool, and you're going, wow, that's awesome. But you know what, man? As you continue to dig, there's more stuff you're going to see. Have you ever experienced that, where you've read a passage before, you've memorized the passage, you've heard a study on it a million times maybe, and then one day you're just, Lord, speak to me, and He shows you something that you've never seen before, and it applies in a way that you go, wow. And you're going, how come I missed that? I mean, I've been a Christian for years. I missed that. God goes, I just wanted to show you a little nugget right here. Wasn't just lying on top of the ground. Took a little digging. But you know what, man? There's gold there in God's Word. Do we recognize, man, what a treasure the Bible is to us as believers? I guess that's the big question. Here in this country, we've been spoiled in many ways. Most of us probably have more than one Bible at home. And today, most of you probably have a phone or a tablet. And most of you probably have a smartphone. And on that smartphone, not only do you have one translation of the Bible, if you have the YouVersion Bible, do you know how many translations of the Bible you even have on your phone? You've got lots of translations. There are people in other countries that don't have anything near what we have. The Word of God is precious. It's valuable. We do well not to take it for granted. May God help us to be those men who are meditating in the Word, that it might bring comforts to your hearts. That it might strengthen you, and you'll find the strength that's available to you in times of intense temptation. You ever struggle with temptation? How many of you have struggled with temptation? Okay, that should be pretty unanimous. I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right crowd before I say this. We all struggle with it, don't we? Pastor, I keep falling into this. How do I get out of this temptation? How do I get victory in this area? You ready? Ready for the answer? Take it down. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word, David says, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against been said, this book, speaking of the Bible, will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Hiding the Word of God in your hearts. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 says, lay up these words in your hearts. Teach them to your children, and you shall write them. Teach them to your children. The good thing, again, of meditating on the Word and memorizing the Word, you can be cruising along and your kids can ask you one of those questions that come out of nowhere. And you can take them to the Word of God. You can share the Word of God with them right there on the spot. And give them answers to the questions. To give them confidence that God, well, He has the answers to the struggles that they're facing, to the questions that they have. Applying the Word of God, if you continue, again, as I already mentioned, in my Word, then are you my disciples. Again, it's not enough to study the Scripture on a daily basis or even just memorize it. It must affect the way that we live. In other words, it's not enough to go through the Word of God. The Word of God must show through you. The Word isn't something you just go through. It's something that it needs to be shown through you. That word for continue there speaks of abiding. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. That word abiding means to stay firmly planted you see, and not move around. If you have a fruit tree, if you have any kind of a plant and you dig it up and move it around every few months, guess what? That plant will never really grow into its full capacity. You are stunting the growth of that plant. It needs to be rooted. It needs to go deep. It needs to dig down and abide. It needs to stay fixed and firm. You don't move it around. The same is true of us as Christians. To abide means to draw all your ideas and your lifestyle from the Word of God. And if you're doing that, then it affects our actions. It affects our speech. Let me ask you some questions. Is the Word of God, man, affecting the way that you're living today? Is it sustaining your life? Is it controlling your thoughts and the way you conduct your business, the way you live at home, the way you spend your free time? If not, you're not a disciple. And the call tonight to you is to come out of that and to go deeper in your relationship with the Lord. You see, it's only when we put ourselves as men under the authority of God's Word and submit to its teaching that we become disciples. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." That literally means, let the Word of God be perfectly at home in you. You see, is that the case with you? The promises, the blessings are for those that take these principles and apply them to their lives. Yes, the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few, and we need more laborers. We need more disciples. It's my prayer that through the men's study this year, that you will dig in, that you will sign up, that you will be those and become. That's why we have the men's study, so that you, it helps you with the discipline. When you start getting behind, it shows up real quick, doesn't it? You see, you want to be disciplined, and this will help you to get in the Word of God every day. It's a tool. And then you get with the brothers, and you pray together, and you share the struggles and the battles that you're going through, and lift one another up and help one another. Man, iron sharpens irons. That's what we do, man. We get real with each other. In the small groups where we say, "Hey, man, how's it going? Oh, man, I messed up this week. Hey, come on, let's pray for you, man. Let's get moving again." And you see, and we can lift one another up. We can do life together, you see, as men. We have a place where we can bear one another's burdens, as the Bible says. Confessing our faults. How many of you have faults? Raise your hand. Any of you have faults? Okay, good, good. This is the right group, man. So, because we all have them, right? So when we tell our faults one to another, we don't go around and go, "Wow, I can't believe you blew it there. Wow, I'd never blow it there." Well, you've got your areas too, okay? We don't all blow it in the same place. We don't all struggle with the same thing. Some of the stuff, we struggle with the same things as men, but some of us struggle in other areas, you know, one area more than the other. So together, you know, we can help one another. We can pray one another. Maybe you've had victory in an area, so you got a brother that's in your group that's struggling in this area. So you share with him and pray for him and share with him how God gave you this victory and what you did and how God changed that, you see. And it gives him hope. It helps him. It gives him some tools from the Word to lift him out. That's what it's all about, man. And sometimes, you know what? The ladies, so easy to get them signed up, and us guys go, "Well, you know, I'm not going to let anybody too close, man, you know, because I'm cool, and I don't want anybody to know, you know, that I have issues. And you know what? I don't really want them to know any problem or weakness or struggle I have. I want to say, I'm great, but I'll help you." Watch out for that spiritual pride, man. Watch out for that Pharisee kind of attitude. Listen, Paul says, I haven't arrived. If the great apostle Paul said, I haven't arrived, but I am pressing towards that mark of the high calling in Christ. And we cheer one another on, and we pray one another in, and we encourage one another, you see. And we're men, so we don't go, no, you know, you should really be careful and not go into these places if you struggle in this area. Men tend to say, you know, tend to be a little bit more abrupt than that. And we say, what are you doing, man? You shouldn't. Hey, next time you struggle, give me a call, man. I'll meet you over here. Let's do that kind of stuff to help each other out. Not saying we have to be harsh and mean-spirited about it. But we're men. We can talk to each other. We can tell each other. We can pray for each other. And to the degree that we take advantage of that, you know what? Is the degree that we're going to experience spiritual growth and discipleship and partnership. We're men, we tend to be the Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Some of you young guys are going, who's the Lone Ranger? What on earth is Tonto? Is that a cover for a car? No, that's not the right thing. So men, sign up, move up. Yeah, it's going to cost you something. This is not easy. I'm not talking easy stuff. I'm talking commitment to Christ-likeness. I'm talking wanting to move beyond just the surface kind of, hey, dude, how you doing, man? Fine. How you doing? Fine. Okay. God bless you, man. Bye. When inside, man, you're mad at your wife. You're struggling with a temptation for adultery. You're on the verge, man, of just chucking it all and just going off somewhere. I mean, but, hey, cool, man. I feel all right. You know, hey, You know, that's men talk. Girls, they talk in sentences and full words and everything. I guarantee you this. That wasn't women that started that kind of a thing. That was guys. How you doing? Huh? So what's up? Ah. You know, I mean, isn't that the way we do? We need to graduate, okay? We need to get beyond the Stone Age. Yeah, all right. You know, I know the Holy Spirit says that he understands the groanings that we have, but we want to move beyond that so we can communicate and have communion with one another and fulfill what Christ has called us to do, which is love one another. And so I'm praying that you guys will step up and answer the challenge here to be men of the Word. Okay? Let's pray.